free thy land. Gone underground, on the outer fringe of freedom. And this is your host, Freer Freedom, and tonight we'll go into why aliens rape humans. I recently watched a NOVA on alien abduction from 1996, and that show made the point that a lot of the memories of alien abductions could be implanted by the hypnotist through the power of suggestion. It also had Carl Sagan on it, saying that the burden of proof would be on the people who were suggesting that alien abductions would happen, when it is well known that people do hallucinate. Now, by Occam's razor, that would make sense. I would have to go with the most logical, simplest explanation, so I was somewhat perturbed. Until upon rewatching it, I noticed that about 3 minutes and 50 seconds into it, there was a encounter type in meeting with Bud Hopkins and some abductees, and one of the abductees explained that he had been taken to a very large underwater base with no visible supports, and you could fit several football fields in it. Now, he's describing the alien base off the coast of Malibu, which wasn't discovered until 2014. So the fact that someone in 1996 is describing something that wasn't even known to anyone else until 2014 gives added weight that his story is true. Also, the supports are on the outside of the underground base. It's about 3 miles wide. It's a large oval. You can see it on Google Earth. Now, someone may claim that a person could come up with the idea of a extremely large underwater UFO base by chance. That is possible, but that they would also say that there were no visible signs of support, and then we discovered that there is such a large underwater structure with support beams, huge pillars outside it, where an abductee on the inside would not see them. The odds of that being by chance must be ridiculously high against it. So therefore, by Occam's razor, we would have to say that this is a true account of an alien abduction, because the abduction scenario is the simpler explanation. Now, in addition, Preston Dennett, by examining the number of reports in the LA area and abductions, was able to deduce that there probably was a base in that area. So from a probability thinking point of view, of all the places along the West Coast, East Coast, or anywhere in the world, what are the odds that he would pick the exact location of a large anomaly underwater? It's got to be at least thousands to one that would be by chance. And this, again, is the scientific method. He formed a hypothesis that there would be a base there based on observed facts, and then his hypothesis was later proved to be correct when Google Earth showed pictures of the underwater base. This is the scientific method. So therefore, the science favoring alien abductions vastly outweighs the science that says it's just a hallucination. And after all, that is merely a speculation that it is a hallucination. There is no evidence to support that claim. Of course, some abduction accounts may be hallucinations, and other abduction accounts may be outright fraud to make the authors money on their books. But neither of those kinds of accounts negate the true accounts. Because after all, extraordinary claims need extraordinary evidence. And because of the large number of habitable planets in the galaxy alone, the claim that Earth is the only planet with intelligent life is an extraordinary claim. The evidence for UFOs would be sufficient in a court of law to send someone to the electric chair. So, given the extraordinary claim doctrine, there is sufficient evidence for UFOs, and we should be examining more carefully the motives of these aliens. To determine the alien motivations, we'll start by looking at what they actually do. In probability thinking, whenever you see someone doing something, the odds are at least 2 to 1 that it is compelled behavior. The aliens abduct people. They do an examination of their reproductive organs and extract eggs or sperm. Now, this is very much like a rape, even though the aliens do not appear to have genitals. So it is very traumatic to the abductees. Now, the aliens are capable of inducing positive emotions, so some abductees feel that it is a positive experience. Other people resist vehemently. Now, the aliens also implant fertilized egg into women, and they harvest a baby at a later point. This can happen several times throughout the woman's life, and it also tends to follow in families. Their children are abducted as well. This usually begins at the onset of puberty, around 12 in women, when their eggs are presumably the freshest. The harvested babies are said to be extremely small and often raised in tubes on the ship or in a base, an underground military base usually. The abduction is performed by the small grays, the medical operations are performed by a larger gray, and there does seem to be, in more recent accounts, a black mantoid involved. And sometimes, according to Yvonne Smith, when they're having trouble with an abductee, there is an onboard female mother, there, as they're called, which provides empathetic support to calm down the abductee. Next, we'll look at some possible motivational scenarios. In the UFO community, the scenario that is usually offered for this is that the small grays, since they have no genitals, have lost the ability to reproduce and they need humans in which to reproduce, or they've lost the ability to have emotions and they need to have human hybrids in order to recover their emotional compassion. In my view, this is ridiculous. It plays on the vanity of humanity that somehow we're essential, and it also serves the needs of the quislings in the UFO community that want to believe that all aliens are good. It's ridiculous, as I said. I must have missed the episode where the professor crossed Gilligan with the dolphin and harvested out of Marianne in order to get them off the island. I guess this would be the flipper skipper solution. An early idea I had is that they were making hybrids to inhabit intermediate dimensions, but there doesn't seem to be enough variation in the hybrids for that scenario. Another scenario more recently I came up with is that they're interbreeding with us in order to become telepathically connected. In an account from Corey Good, he said that he went to a meeting as an ambassador for the military near Jupiter, and there were various kinds of aliens there, and they all had a little gray next to them, except for the giant Draco, who had a small lizard. This suggests to me that all the aliens at the meeting, other than the Draco, were mantid hybrids, and the small grays are human mantid hybrids, so therefore the aliens, being part mantid, could read the mantid part of the small gray, and then small gray could read our minds. So essentially Corey Good was leaking intel to all the aliens through the small grays. This idea, based on genetic telepathy, has some very good points to it. It explains the onboard mother on the ship, who is very empathetic, who appears to be a telepathic interface between the Mantis and humans while they sleep. And in my dreams, I usually encounter a couple, the mantoid male and the empathetic woman. Of course, it's never a bug in my dreams. It's just, like I said, it's a human couple. And the motivation's there. I just recently, there's been two dreams where I'm being trained in weapons, one with swords and another one with a sniper rifle. So, and they weren't very good mind control either, so I think they're broadcast to a large number of people, rather than tailored to just my psychology, the way artificial intelligence is being used here on Earth today. And if that is a broadcast to a large number of people, the Mantoids appear to be promoting war and conflict, possibly in a survival of the fittest kind of culling of the herd motivation. And of course, in addition to the small gray hybrids, there are extremely attractive human hybrids being bred by the Mantoid gray group. And the obvious motivation here would be to infiltrate human society, in particular the unacknowledged special access programs of the military, and seize the anti-gravity technology that we are creating ourselves and keep us out of the multiverse. Richard Dolan has also independently come up with this idea, although he is not aware of the fact that when you leave your timeline, your logistics are left behind as well. He probably assumes they can get spaceships from some homeworld, whereas I subscribe to the idea that we are their supply depots, all the Earths like ours and other planets as well, kept in subjugation, producing their logistical supplies, UFOs, etc. You're listening to Free Thy Land on KFUC Radio. That's KFUC, Quarter Militia, California, 10944 BCFM. KFUC Radio, where it's the truth that sets you free. And by the way, the logistical supply argument is bolstered by the reports that the silicon chip and night vision goggles were culled from downed UFOs. And the quislings in the community call the crashed UFOs gifts, but they are more likely plants to get us to develop those technologies to be harvested by the aliens later. Jacques Vallée and Paula Harris have a new book in 2021 called Trinity, about a crashed UFO that blew out some panels that were filled with this spiderweb or fiber optic type material, busted out of a panel when the ship crashed. And this is very similar to the fiber optics of Charles Hall's tall whites that they got from the military and put in the panels of their spaceship. Again, E equals MC squared, or mass equals energy over the speed of light squared, and energy is frequency times Planck's constant, and frequency can be nullified by a frequency of a similar vibration. So the fiber optics are nullifying the crystalline molecular vibrations of the metal of the ships, thereby eliminating the mass of the ship. Now, Jacques Vallée pointed out what the quislings missed is there were three aliens on the ship, no seats, no controls, set up to possibly die when the ships crash as a form of alien sacrifice. Referring to this obvious fact, Jacques said, these aliens were apparently disposable. Who does something like that? Exactly, Jacques. What the Quislings don't want to face is that these aliens are inferior to us in their morality. Well, inferior to the average American. I'm sure some of our leaders are complete fucking scumbags. And this leads to the final scenario I've come up with, which I give a above 80% chance of being true. In probability thinking, when I'm building the net of correlated subfacts, all of them have to be consistent. Now, I've already established that they're skipping through time and they're complete fucking scumbags, completely selfish mantoids. So why do they need to keep abducting people to breed? If they already have the onboard mother to control our thoughts, they already have the Greys as their mind slaves, what is the compelling reason to keep abducting? And then it occurred to me that maybe they're not skipping forward in time. If they're skipping backward in time, it suddenly makes sense. I mean, they're not going to abduct to make more hybrids for some other mantis. It's only going to be for one mantid, themselves. They are selfish scumbags, after all. And Nadine Lalich confirmed this when she talked about the underground military lab that she was brought to. The whole thing said to be controlled by one mantis. So now it suddenly makes sense. The small Greys that are later harvested from the woman are actually her own children, going back in time to abduct her and take eggs from her, which are hybrid with the mantoid implanted in her, and then they harvest themselves from her womb on a later abduction. Eventually, a mantis is constructed in the underground military base. Using reverse engineered silicon chips, night vision optics taken from crashed UFOs several years before. The mantid is, as I've said before, probably a silicon-based robot, solar-powered. It may have some genetics to it, but it may not have genetics at all. It may be completely a robot. So how does it reproduce? Well, most probably by this sick, convoluted scheme of abducting people. It suddenly all makes sense. So that's also why they follow families, is because the mantid needs to focus on some single genetics without getting it too complex. And the mantoids only appear when a culture reaches a certain level of technological ability, so that the culture can reverse engineer the planted UFO technology and cyborg bodies sacrificed and manufacture the parts that the hybrids need in order to make a mantoid. Now, there are reports of the mantoids being way back in our past, but these could be the ones that are being created today, just traveling further and skipping further and further back in time. So the obvious solution would be for the people who are abducted to not have children, and thereby cut the mantoids off at the past. But then again, we are at the very end of civilization with only 15 years, 14 years left, 2035 when the pole shift occurs. So it might be too late for that technique. Another tactic would be to physically destroy the mantoid. But when there was a battle between the Greys and the military in 1979, Bob Lazar said that the Greys used their mind control to get the military to turn their weapons on themselves and blow their own brains out. So that tactic doesn't seem to be feasible either. And that's why I recommend, since they're using telepathy to subjugate planet Earth, we can turn the tables on them when we get the abductees high on psychedelics, especially mushrooms. They've been scientifically shown through experiments to produce a higher sense of morality. So because there's a close telepathic connection between the hybrids and their human mothers, the hybrids' morality could be changed by psychedelics. A contactee contact high, if you will. You're listening to Free Thy Land on KFUC Radio. That's KFUC, Quarter Militia, California. 10944 BCFM. KFUC Radio, where it's the truth that sets you free. After coming up with this backwards in time scenario, I immediately came across two reports that appear to confirm it. The first one is that the triangular UFOs that our military created in the late 70s and 80s with the glowing orbs at each corner have been sighted back in the 40s. They're clearly going backwards in time. And another case from Nancy Tremaine, who was abducted in 1961 in Novi, Michigan, with corroborating evidence from the church and police reports. In her case, she was at her neighbor's and he called them outside and he was adjusting his telescope and there was a huge UFO right there in the yard. And she didn't understand why he was fooling around with the telescope when the UFO was right there. Later, the aliens brought her on board the craft. When she looked out the window, all she saw was her neighbor with the telescope. And in between that time, several police had showed up, all kinds of neighbors, an undercover police. So if she was seeing her neighbor looking through a telescope after she was abducted, the nature of human behavior, somebody else would have been hanging around with the neighbor looking through the telescope in hopes of maybe seeing the craft again. But if she was moving backwards in time, she would have seen her neighbor who had probably been out in the yard looking for the UFO, even though it was in the daytime. Maybe he was just looking at birds or something. And I've said before, when you see the UFO, they use telepathy to zero in on you, and suddenly the UFO is upon you. So the fact that she saw him through the window alone with the telescope makes it greater than 50% that she had gone backwards in time a little bit. They were probably oscillating in time around the abduction point. Now, to look again at what is going on, when a civilization reaches a technological point where they are within range of developing a mantoid, the mantoids appear on their timeline. First, the Greys will abduct the humans, in this case, to breed themselves, and also more human-looking hybrids to infiltrate the society and get the resources needed. There will be crashed UFOs to plant technology that is needed to make the mantoid, and once they get the underground bases and all the other elements, they can then build the mantoid in a future date, and the ships, I imagine, as well, and then go back in time and create the whole process of events. It's like they're bootstrapping themselves onto a timeline. And there is no reason to believe that this only happens to humans. The way the mantoids are doing this, they could do this to any species and create hybrids of that species on any planet. Again, it is human vanity to think that somehow the human reproductive system is specifically necessary for some advanced technological alien to reproduce. A ridiculous idea. And where do these ridiculous ideas come from? They're cover stories injected into the UFO community by what some naive conspiratologists believe is the government doing it. Yes, the government is doing things like this, but our government has been subjugated by the aliens. An Air Force spook admitted to giving money to some people in the UFO field to come up with certain things. So a government cover-up is going on, but you just think about it for a brief moment that if the aliens wanted to let us know they were here, all they have to do is show up at halftime at the Super Bowl it would be completely easy for them to be publicly known, but instead they'd rather keep it a secret. They even attempt to erase the memories of their abductee victims. And that means that not only is the Air Force spook spewing cover stories and lies into the UFO community, the human-looking alien hybrids are doing the same thing. And because the UFO community is more of a market than a community, there is a financial bias to only put out the positive view of aliens, because people don't like to hear bad news, and you don't want to lose some of your audience because you're being negative. Now, it never occurs to these people that they're losing some of their audience because they're putting a happy, smiley face on the abduction of fucking children for a mechanical rape scenario. Some of these sick fucks, I heard this one channeler say that, well, humanity's just going to be replaced by the sixth hybrid race, and if you had an unpleasant abductee experience, you should telepathically ask the aliens for a better experience. This is like telling a rape victim that they should have told the rapist to put on some romantic music. It's fucking sick. You're listening to Free Thy Land on KFUC Radio. That's KFUC, Quarter Militia, California. 10944 BCFM. KFUC Radio, where it's the truth that sets you free. Who will save the children from being abducted by the gray aliens? The government won't save them. It's either made a deal, been subjugated, or is more concerned about the UFOs flying over nuclear installations than protecting the citizens of America. The UFO community will do little. A large proportion feel that abductions are a positive thing. The few who are fighting against it have no tactics to use other than collecting information and holding support groups for the abductees. Business will do nothing since there is no profit in it. The right will do nothing since they voted for a president who stole children from their parents and trafficked them across the country in ice dungeons where they were fed toilet water. So that only leaves the activists on the left. Those who are already taking psilocybin, good alien neighbors who are also afflicted by the mantoids and can offer metaphysical help, and people like you, the listener, who has heard what is really going on. Will you do something to protect our children? And on that day, a Milankovitch cocktail was thrown by the sun upon the Arctic methane, and behold, there did arise a great flaming donut from sea to shining sea, and it did lift up the land by classified technology, and the poles that were four were then again two, to the woe of the world.